Today's parable is the longest within the Gospels, as well as a favorite. The parable of the prodigal son, as it is popularly known, has preoccupied and perplexed the thoughts and works of countless religious, secular scholars, writers, and even artists. Why? It doesn't seem so complex. The meaning doesn't seem so obscure, at least not on the face of it. In fact, the domestic scene it describes may be pretty familiar to some of us. The return to the fold of a beloved family member who has wandered off for a while, and the family's conflicting emotions. Some feel joy at his return. Others feel relief that he is safe. Some feel jealousy that all seems to have been forgiven and forgotten. Others harshly judge his wandering ways, and some feel it is unfair that they are not celebrated for staying and remaining faithful to family obligations. But as you may have already suspected, the message within this parable isn't quite so simple. It doesn't lie so obviously on the surface of the narrative. If we were to take our cue from Paul's admonition of the Corinthians, we realize that the eldest son's error was in judging his brother's return and his father's reaction of pure joy, with no reproaches, no recrimination for the trouble or grief that the son's appearance has caused. After all, who among us hasn't and wouldn't take that same human point of view when confronted with a similar situation that seems so obviously unfair? Honestly, I can just imagine my own reaction. And since I have a terrible poker face, as many of you have probably noticed, my facial expressions and tone of voice would quickly give way to my true feelings. It would look something like this. Dad, really? I'd be shaking my head. What the heck? For real? It would be like I was on another planet. I'm the one who stuck around here fulfilling family obligations, and now you're going to pull out the best food and finery for this brother who's been so, I think, incredibly irresponsible. That's your story? Wow. Somehow the prodigal son's return to his father's favor seems just a little bit too easy. I mean, really? Hi, Dad, I'm home. And voila, all is forgiven and let's have a party. It is hard to accept that the consequences for behaving badly could be, should be, so apparently light. Even though we do understand that the return to the flock of any one lost sheep is always cause for joy and celebration in the family of God. Even though we understand that always, but especially during Lent, the call to repent and return is one that we all heed in small and in big life-changing ways. We understand, we have been taught, and believe that a forgiving nature is one which we are called to cultivate in the life of faith and to demonstrate our relationships with others. But somehow, the feelings conjured up by the situation described in the parable seems to smack of cheap grace. The parable feels like a hard landing. It conflicts with our all-too-human notion that somehow we need to earn good fortune and certainly in some measure deserve, hidden or otherwise, that no pain, no gain is the proper yardstick for measuring out someone's portion of forgiveness. Understanding God's justice is never easy. The difficulty lies in that it's so easy and so authentically human that our sense of justice gets confused with God's capacity for love. In human and secular understanding, the two have basically become entangled and muddled. Justice has to do with fairness. Love has to do with selflessness. Justice is balanced. Love is extravagant. Justice almost always seems to involve a measure of retribution. Love calls us to reconciliation. The deeper challenge of this gospel story lies in coming to grips with the breadth and the depth of God's love, because it calls us to contemplate the wideness of God's mercy and to imagine it from outside and beyond our narrow human imagination. The vastness of God's embrace is simply unknowable to us. The depth of God's love is incomprehensible and certainly immeasurable from a human point of view. It is simply not for us to decide who falls within God's grace, nor who ought to be excluded from mercy. During this time of our Lenten journey, when we are meant to prepare ourselves spiritually for reliving the story of Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, we need to keep Paul's words clearly in focus, that through Jesus' one astounding act of self-sacrificing love, God was reconciling the world to herself. Not just who we deem fit, but the whole entire world. Everyone, all of us and creation, once and for all time. There was no universal accounting of trespasses, no meeting out of more salvation to some more than to others, no greater redemption for one group than for another, no fuller restoration for a chosen few over the vast hordes of sinners. God was reconciling the whole world to God's self. That isn't justice, my friends. That is unfathomable divine mercy and holy love. Paul reminds us that we have been entrusted with spreading the message of this kind of absolute reconciliation, the message of reconciliation that lies at the heart of the story in today's gospel, the kind of reconciliation that we are called to be living witness to, the kind of reconciliation that does not weigh our merits, but simply pardons our offenses. It's the kind of reconciliation that holds nothing back, harbors no recrimination, nurtures no resentment, demands nothing in return, nothing except a willingness to enter into the divine abundance of God's mercy and love. We are called to be ambassadors of the kind of reconciliation that comes from unconditional forgiveness, like the Father gave in his immediate welcoming and loving embrace of his erring son. Let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Today is the fourth Sunday in Lent, also called Rejoice Sunday. On this Sunday, we are permitted to dispense with whatever Lenten regime of fasting we may have imposed upon ourselves and indulge moderately. Food, pizza, chocolate, milk, if that's your thing, it's mine. On this Sunday, we are meant to cast our eyes forward to the end of the season of penitence. We are called to anticipate the joy of Christ's resurrection, to celebrate the fulfillment of God's promise of redemption, a promise renewed time and again down and through the millennia, a promise given to Moses when he led the people out of Egypt and across the sea, a promise renewed with Joshua at Gilgal, redeeming all Israel from their 40 years of wandering faithlessness in the wilderness. A promise renewed by bringing the dispersed people of Israel out of exile in Babylon and restoring God's people to the promised land. Again and again and again, Scripture recounts one story after another of redemption, restoration, renewal of the nations. And Jesus' sacrifice once and for all time. The parable of the prodigal son is not a story of human sin or divine forgiveness. It is truly the parable of the forgiving Father, the story of divine love and mercy freely given for all of us. The parable is a story that is almost too good to be true. It, like God's unconditional love, is amazingly almost beyond belief. Amen.